Hey, welcome to Kristen and Chill. It's Kristen and Chill time. We are chilling like a villain. You know, it only took me 80-something shows to say chilling like a villain, and I think I'm pretty proud of that, to be honest with you guys. I'm Kristen Carney, and if you don't know me or you don't know the show, get to know us. Get to know us quickly. We are about to be the love of your life. So the show is Kristen and Chill. It used to be called Mentally Chill. The reason for the music at the beginning is because Kristen and Chill is supposed to be like Netflix and Chill, which means hookup, but it's also not, because the chill has to do with mental illness. I know it's confusing. So we got some porno music leading into some not so porno-y music. Or if that's your kind of porno, then good for you. I'm a little under the weather, so excuse my voice. You guys might not even be able to tell the difference, but in my head it sounds very nasally and annoying. Not that that's very different from what it normally sounds like, but it's very apparent to me. But that's not that interesting. You know what's interesting is who my guest is today. And my guest is a very funny comedian named Seth Herzog, who is the warm-up comedian for The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And we so awesomely got to tape at The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. So I can say I've taped at The Tonight Show. I won't necessarily tell people that it was my podcast that I did. Let them believe it was a stand-up set. But it was very fun and very nice, and Seth is an awesome guy, and you can check him out in a new movie called Boy Band. He'll tell you about it at the end of the show. And we talk about everything from going to therapy at night to being annoyed by the way people speak. Ironic if you're annoyed by the way I speak. So anyway, if you want to rate the show, that would be awesome. If you want to share the show with a friend, that would also be awesome. And when I say rate the show, I mean, of course, only 5 stars. There's only one rating for the show specifically. Unfortunately, you can't choose between 1 and 4. Those options aren't available for stars. Only 5 stars are available to rate the show. So please go and click that option. And if you're interested in getting to know me outside of the show, please feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Kristen Carney, KristenCarney, or you can find me on Instagram at Chris Carn, KristenCarn. And I hope you guys are all doing well. Thank you for listening and tuning back in, and again for sharing the show with a friend. And I hope you guys enjoy this week's show.
I got a full beard an hour ago.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you shave for this special occasion?
I wanted to see you. So I keep seeing Chris. I better shave.
Well, you can still see me with a beard. You don't see through your chin.
Oh, it's true. That's true. No, I was. We did a Game of Thrones sketch for The Tonight Show. That's going to air sometime next week.
They didn't just go fake beard? Do you normally have a beard?
I know. They were going to put a fake beard on me, but I had already grown. Like, we had been off for a week, so I hadn't shaved. So I had like a little thing.
Uh-huh.
They're like, just keep it for 1 more week and we'll shoot this thing. So I had like a scruffy, very itchy thing going on.
You know, I'm a fan of the beard, but I can see how uncomfortable it can't be a good feeling to have
it.
Hair on your actual face.
It was made and so unused to it and so uncomfortable, and it was just itchy all the time. And I was holding a mic and I could feel the hairs like getting into the holes of the mic. I was like, ugh,
that's what happens when I put my mic to my vagina.
Yeah. There you go. It happened that fast, people.
So, do you think it's weird that I'm sitting 1 chair away?
Yeah, you put a buffer.
I did put a buffer.
Yeah.
But the only...
are you feeling threatened by me or something?
I wish I was.
Yeah.
You're way too nice.
Ugh, damn it. I want to be mysterious and dangerous.
I know. Well, I'm in New York. I was expecting more of like the New York a-hole vibe,
really?
Which I love.
Come on, ready?
Yeah. Perfect.
So, are we doing this or what? Seriously. I got like 4 or 5 minutes.
The wide eye is just... Yeah. Make it perfect. Well, no. So the reason I did 1 seat in between us, because mm-hmm. I talk about social etiquette on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So figure this is prepped and primed for, that doesn't make sense. This is
appropriate.
Appropriate. Thank you.
Yeah.
God help me. Because when you're eating food, I feel like you can sit right here.
Yeah.
But this turns into a little bit of like a therapy session. And if I'm sitting too close to you for therapy session,
right.
It almost feels like I'm about to murder you. Like I'm breathing down you. I'm like, tell me more.
It's getting very intense. What's more interesting is that I'm going to actual therapy right after this.
You know what will be more interesting? The fact that this will be more beneficial.
I guarantee you it will.
It will not. No, it's going to ruin you.
I don't love my therapist. I just guarantee this will be better.
I really feel like your therapist should charge you double after
This?
This, because I'm going to make you that much worse.
I'm sure you will.
So send me the bill.
Yeah. It's funny because I see him now Saturday afternoons, but for years and years and years, I had a 10:30 at night appointment with him.
10:30 at night with a therapist?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I think that was more of a sexual relationship or something.
Well, what's so funny is I didn't think it was weird until I started telling friends. Until I started telling people, like, I'd be at a show or I'd be out at a concert, and I'd be like, I got to run. I got to go to therapy. It's 10 o'clock. And they're like, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, yeah, my guy sees people at night. I'm at 10:30. And like, everyone's like, wait, what?
Yeah, that'd be like me saying, I'm going to go see my gynecologist at 2 a.m. That's a really weird thing.
And then what's got worse is that after years of seeing this guy, I made a comment about the pictures in the room. And I was like, oh, when did you go to India? He goes, oh, this isn't my office.
Oh my God. It's just a stranger.
He's just a guy with keys.
Yes. Love a man with keys.
He's just a guy who has access to an office, and he started seeing people in this empty office in the middle of the night.
Props to him.
Yeah.
He's making money.
Yeah.
No, he's hustling.
He's a real therapist. It's just I found out that there's like a group office where there's like a bunch of people who share the same office.
It's instead of a WeWork, it's a WeTherapy.
WeTherapy, exactly. And he does like the night shifts or whatever.
Why are there therapy night shifts?
I don't know. He likes to go from 6 to 11.
Is this a thing or just his thing?
That's his thing, I guess. Because everyone else does the days.
So do you think that he sees people that have more problems because they're coming to him at night? It almost seems like the more fucked up you are, the later you'd go to therapy. Yeah. Like your appointment should be at 4 a.m.
Yeah, because I've got so much baggage. And I always would joke with him because I was the last one of the night on Thursday nights because it'd be from 10:30 to 11:30 and then we'd all go home.
Then we'd go out for drinks.
But I would say to him, I'd say, well, we don't have to end in an hour. Like, there's no one else coming. Why don't we go all night? Like, what's stopping you? Wouldn't you be a better doctor if we just went for 3 or 4 hours?
Yeah, but then that reduces his hourly rate a lot.
Exactly. He's a smart businessman. Yeah.
This is so strange.
Yeah.
This is the first I've heard this. So I've been doing this podcast for almost 2 years now.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. No, it has been 2 years. Actually, yeah, in March it was 2 years. I've never once heard someone say anything about nighttime therapy.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if it's a new thing. It's just what this one guy does.
I would do a lot better, I think, at nighttime therapy. I'm more loosened up. I'm ready to go.
Well, it's been a whole day of stuff to talk about already. Because I feel like everyone preps something to talk about. Because, like, you're like, this is an hour. I'm paying money. I better get a lot out of it. So I always prep, like, okay, I make notes on my phone. Got to talk about this. Talk about this. Things that come up in my head during the week. But sometimes I don't even have to because it's like there's already been that day alone. I'm already mad.
But then does that take away from what you want to talk about?
Sometimes I'll try and remember what I want to talk about from earlier in the week, but I often get distracted.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things to get distracted by that would in the moment.
Yeah.
You might need to talk about your relationship with your mother. But because some dude with a hot dog got ketchup on you earlier in that day,
that becomes the thing.
Talk
about that. Yeah.
So you never get to the mother. So maybe morning therapy is good.
Yeah, I guess I feel like I'm not active enough in the morning, but I feel like also night therapy would work because most people have day jobs, so like they can't leave during noon or one to go therapy.
I always wonder how people with real jobs do anything.
They do night stuff.
Love it.
That's why.
Yeah.
They have to wait for Saturday to do all their. Go to the bank, go to the laundry, whatever.
Isn't that awful?
It's terrible. Luckily, I don't have to be anywhere till 4.
Well, you have to be at your therapist at 4.
I have to be a therapist, at 4 a.m.
So I start the show usually with things I tell my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So since you're going to your therapist,
I am.
Can you tell me what you're going to tell your therapist? Or do you want to tell me something a little bit more fun and not about the guy with the hot dog and ketchup?
I'll tell you something that's interesting that I do at therapy. Which is an interesting thing because this is appropriate to this podcast. I don't know what it is, and I haven't gotten inside my head enough to know why I do it. But as soon as I go in, I like to turn the tables on them.
Mm.
As soon as I go in, I like to say, how are you doing today?
I don't like that.
It's defensive of me, right?
It's defensive. It shows insecurity.
Does it?
Yeah.
But here's what I'm thinking. My thought plan is he's been sitting here all day listening to people's
bullshit. What about him? Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I want someone. Is he thinking, I want someone once to ask me how the fuck I am?
That's how you know you're a comedian.
Yeah.
Every therapist I've ever seen, I've always said that to them. Don't you want some attention? Yeah. And so I'd say, how are you? But I think the way you just phrased it sounded more intense and a little bit more digging. Whereas
more
I'm
like,
how are you when I talk to the therapist?
I think for me, it's more, now that I'm thinking about it, it's more, let's get the attention off me.
Okay. And
I think it's more like, I don't want to talk about whatever. I got walls. I don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about you for 5 minutes before I have to deal with this.
Right. But yet for a living, you talk about yourself in front
of
people. I
do. But you know what's funny? I don't talk about myself.
I don't usually talk about myself in stand-up either.
I don't. I think in some ways I do, but in a lot of ways I don't. And yeah. I don't. And I've had people comment like they act, you know, it's a good act, but it don't, you don't get to
know
a ton about me.
Right. Me, I prefer that. I don't want to get to know you at all.
Yeah, yeah. People,
I'm fine
with
that.
I don't want people to know me. I don't want to get too real.
Well, I think for me, a part of the reason I don't, well, I mean, I haven't done stand-up in a while, but when I do it, I generally do fine. But the days that I don't do well, I think it's because I'm picking on everything else except myself. But it's ironic because I am the most self-deprecating person that I know. And I know a lot of people. I'm very right. connected.
I know you are very connected. I know you're huge.
Very huge.
Yeah.
So it's really strange for me to go on stage and not do any self-deprecating humor. But then in real life, that's all I do. And I don't know why there's that disconnect on the stage.
Right.
Because I think when I self-deprecate in front of an audience, I think they don't believe me. Mm. Whereas if I'm one-on-one, I can like really sell you on how much I hate myself. I don't know. It's really weird. But anyway, back to you and your therapist. So what usually happens when you ask him how he is?
He goes, I'm fine. I don't know. Like he makes some weird, he laughs and makes some weird comment.
And he never gets into himself.
No. Sometimes he'll randomly say, you know, it's funny. Something happened today that's kind of funny. And he'll tell like a funny story.
And then you're like, that'll be $20. Yeah. I would just like exactly. trick him into it every
Start
time.
Billing him. Does that mean I don't have to pay you
right.
my fee?
I know. I mean, it's got to balance
even.
Out,
let's
right?
Let's just call it even.
Yeah. I'm going to save money today, so let's talk about you. I like that deal.
Yeah. He's a good dude. You know, I for the first year, he was giving me a lot of shit because I was like asking for answers all the time. And he was always like, I'm not here to give you answers. I'm here for you to talk about it and for you to figure them out.
That seems like a very male thing to do. Men really always want answers, whereas yeah. women just want to spit out stuff.
Just talk about it and vent a little mm-hmm. bit. Yeah, so it took me a long time to get over that.
But you do want answers from your therapist because you
totally.
Want to move forward, and it seems like answers
yes.
will get you to the next
like,
step.
I'm here to talk about this. How do I not deal with this anymore? What is it? Like
right.
what? Tell me what to do.
Step A, B, C, and D.
And he would be like, "I'm not here to do that," and it would drive me crazy. I'm like, "Why are we talk? Why are we even here?"
Right. So, what does he say? He's there for.
I don't know anymore.
Right.
We're there to just.
Do you feel like you talk in circles at therapy? I think that's. I haven't
I feel
been
like
in so long
I talk
because
about
that's
the
what
same
I do.
Shit over and over and over again.
Me too.
And I say to him sometimes, like, how sick are you hearing about?
I know.
Not only, I know I'm talking about the same three or four topics every time. How sick are you of it? You must be so sick of hearing me. But then he's taking copious notes. And he's actually listening because he'll go back and be like, 3 weeks ago, you said this, which is really interesting. And it was connects to this thing you just said.
Oh.
And I was like, all right.
Oh, I've never been with a therapist who actually writes stuff down.
He's writing every.
Is he a psychiatrist or a therapist?
Therapist. But he writes down everything I say.
It's just to have shit on you.
He
posts it on
later.
Instagram.
He
yeah.
does.
Mm-hmm. It's in a story every
He's
day.
He's that 8th grade girl.
No.
He's posting shit about
oh
me.
Oh my God. Imagine being in 8th grade and having an 8th grader as
your therapist.
As your therapist. How much hell would that be?
They just sit and get everyone's shit and then they post it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine growing up now in this
movie.
Time with social media.
Oh, I couldn't either. I mean, I look back at the pictures we did take of me in like high school, and I were the only ones who have those copies. I was like, wow, if those were posted, I mean, come on.
Okay, well, quick story.
Yeah.
8th grade, sounds really gross. I got my period all over my white shorts. Because you wear white shorts when you're on
right.
your period. That's a very smart move for
right.
a girl.
But I feel like that's an extremely common story. I've heard that from a lot of people.
It didn't seem common at the time.
Right, because it was happening to you.
Oh my God, it was the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
But if I had gotten that today as an 8th grader.
Yeah, everyone would have their phones out taking
for
pictures.
For the rest
pictures
of my
it.
Life.
Yeah.
It'd be the girl
You'd
with.
You'd be bloody Kristen Carney.
Kristen Bloody Carney.
Kristen Bloody Carney.
And not because I'm English.
Exactly, exactly.
Because no, I'm actually bleeding.
That would be a thing.
Mm-hmm. But the way it happened was so stupid. I was at, it was like, how dumb am I that I actually did this? So I was wearing white shorts at Six Flags Adventure Park, Adventure Theme Park.
The one in Jersey.
Was actually in Jersey, yeah.
Jackson, Jersey.
I think so.
I'm from Jersey. I know where it is.
Of course you're from Jersey.
Been there a lot. What year was this? Was before the haunted house burned down
or
after?
So it was eighth grade. I don't know. It was probably 1996.
Oh, yeah, it was after. It burned down in the 80s.
Okay.
The haunted house literally burned down and
How old do you think I am?
Killed three people.
You were like, it was in 1940. Was this before or after?
I don't know. I was trying to gauge how old you are.
I'm 35.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Am I older than you thought or younger than I thought? Or I'm younger than you thought.
I don't know.
I am younger than you thought.
I couldn't tell.
Oh my God, you thought
you
I was old.
You could be 23, you could be 53. I have
Very
no
smooth.
Idea.
Very smooth. I am getting old. But so I'm wearing white shorts at mm-hmm. Six Flags. I'm not at the point, this is very detailed information mm-hmm. that I don't think that you or the listeners want, but you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know how to wear tampons yet.
Right. It was brand new to you.
It was very scary.
What did you put in your ear? I mean, what do you mean you didn't know how to do it?
It's not that easy
right.
to put your first tampon in because it
sure.
hurts.
Oh, my You've God.
You've never had anything up
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
hopefully.
Naturally, yeah.
Things have gone well. And then you don't know how the contraption works. Like you push in and pull out. It's very confusing. It was hard. So I didn't know how to use tampons yet, so I was using pads.
Right, naturally.
And we went on the log ride.
The log flume.
Which gets you all wet.
I know well.
And when water hits blood in white shorts on a pad.
It goes it everywhere.
Bleeds. The bleeding is bleeding. Like it bleeds. And it was all over the ass of my.
So you weren't even thinking I shouldn't go on this log flume?
Didn't even know. That's why I'm like, am I actually, Jesus. I must be dumb.
Yeah.
And so I'm running around the park with my friend for God knows how long until I'm going back on this roller coaster for like the fourth time. I've gone up and down these stairs to get this. And this girl behind me, finally, someone had said something. She said, excuse me, I think you got your period. And her face was basically in my ass. So it had probably been 2 hours that I was running around with blood all over my ass. And I mean, it wasn't
so
just
it was
like
a
stranger
spot. Who said it?
Yeah. And
oh,
thank
God.
God
it wasn't someone from the school.
No, right. And that's the thing. It wasn't at school. But imagine if that did happen, I just went viral. And then all of a sudden I'm back at school and I see...
Everyone's
Wait, that was
phones?
Me at Six Flags. Yeah, right. Everyone's sharing it on Instagram. So anyway, thank God I did not. I'm not alive. Well, I'm not alive now, but you know what I mean.
You weren't a kid in school when things mattered.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I'd be
Lord.
At therapy at night right now. If that's how
I wouldn't
grew
be
up.
Sleeping. I'd only be at the therapy at
yeah.
night.
So when you're not getting anywhere in therapy,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying you're not getting anywhere, but when you're talking in circles, do you think that makes your problem worse because you harp on it?
No, what for me, it's funny, I've been thinking about this a lot. I don't think it makes it worse. I think it makes me think about it deeper because I'm like, why do I keep talking about the same thing over and again? What's going on with me that I keep talking about this? How can I, it just makes me think about it more because I know he's not going to be giving me any answers. So I was like, well, he's not going to tell me what's going on, even though he might know something or infer something.
But
I have
like
to do it myself.
They should give you tools at least.
Yeah.
And that's my problem with therapy is that I just kept going in circles and harping on the same thing and not getting anywhere with it and not coming to any like revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost felt like my problems were getting worse because I would talk about the same thing every time
right.
and get deeper. It was like digging a hole.
Right.
And I liked my therapist, but I wished that I had more of like practical steps of like, you know, do this exercise every morning or not,
right.
not physical exercise, but like this mental thing and write this down, like just certain steps that I can take to maybe start feeling like I'm digging myself out of the hole rather than deeper into the hole.
Don't you feel like though, as you dig deeper in the hole, you're getting to the roots
unearthing
of why it's
more
there,
shit
of just why it's happening or like, and so you can break the pattern, whatever the pattern is, you just need to break it. So how do you do that? How do you readjust your synapses that make you think certain things and that you make certain choices by even thinking about them and it's second nature and then you go through the same things? How do you break that pattern? I don't know. But maybe if you're going deeper and deeper and you could maybe get to the roots of it, it's like, oh, this is why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And then you could stop it. I don't know.
But it almost seems like as I go deeper, 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 say I'm actually digging in actual dirt, there's just worms and creepy shit. And I'm like,
skull.
I did not want to know about this
yeah.
skull in my
yeah. Yeah.
history.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think I should go back to therapy at some point soon, but it's been about a year and a half that I haven't been. And I actually feel better, which is weird.
Really?
I'm not doing anything for the therapy community, even though I think it's great. I just think for me, I almost fixate on one thing and then each week it's the same exact, just redundancy. And again, it's the, they must be so sick of listening to this. And they've got to get to a point as a therapist. Right. You'd think they'd get to a point and be like, get over it.
Yeah.
Enough already. Move on. You got two legs, two arms.
You'd think every therapist should just
nine fingers. I'm missing one.
Every session with that. Just get over it. Next, get over
it. Well, actually, at the end of the podcast, that I have a character, this guy I call Uncle Tony, and it's tough love with Uncle Tony, and that's what he says at the end of every show of this podcast. Basically, just like, shut the fuck up. Move on. Look outside. You're fine.
Yeah. Look outside. You're fine.
Mm-hmm. That's should be his tagline.
Right. There is something beautifully like privileged about going to therapy. Like we're not
absolutely
the fact that we're obsessing over it and we're not worrying about food and shelter.
I used to say I need therapy for not being able to afford therapy. And actually, the last therapist I went to was on like a sliding scale.
Uh-huh.
I only paid like $20 a session.
Really?
Which could be why I wasn't really getting anywhere, because it was a $20 like appointment.
That's just $20 a session is just a quiet room for you to talk. He's not even going to do anything.
No, it was a quiet room for me to weep.
To weep, yeah. And he wasn't even going to give you a tissue. It's
I know.
$25 tissues.
I was going to say, I would definitely be in the hole for the tissues. So I should send them a box just out of politeness. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know you didn't make any money to afford tissues from me.
Well, I only pay $25 for the copay.
Oh, insurance therapy. Right. I forget about insurance, that magical thing.
I wouldn't have gone if it wasn't for insurance. I wouldn't be paying $200 an hour.
Okay.
I would not have.
So many people do that, which I think they need therapy for how much they're willing to spend on therapy.
It's normal for New York, but I wouldn't do that.
And that's a crazy amount of money.
Right. But insurance, it's totally worth it.
So do you find that the therapists available through insurance are just as good as...
I feel like this guy's really good. I went through another guy who I didn't like at all. And I was with him for about a year. And
daytime
appointments.
That's why.
And he was just, I don't know, I just felt like he wasn't emotionally with me. Like he would just kind of like nap half the time. He never felt like he was really engaged.
Yeah. And just, I want to say this, if through this podcast you can hear bagpipes,
it's
outside
in your head. It's not really happening.
You should go see a therapist. Yeah, there are no bagpipes.
No bagpipes. No, believe it or not, the Scottish Day Parade is happening up 6th Avenue.
And believe it or not, there is a Scottish Day Parade.
Yeah, it's
in general.
It's always 2 weeks after the Irish parade, you know, the St. Patrick's Day Parade. But no one knows,
Scottish.
Or cares. Yeah, they're like, we're 2 weeks later. No one gets drunk and cares about our, no one fights during our parade.
I like Scottish people.
They're the best.
They should go first. That's the opening act.
They should go
first.
They
can't follow
the
St. Patrick's Day.
No, it's crazy. But it's usually a little warmer because St. Patrick's Day
is
always
nice right
colder
now.
And it's always a little warmer.
So they can wear their skirts.
They can wear their skirts with nothing
the
under
point.
It. There's a lot of dudes with skirts out there today.
There are.
Yeah.
You know, you got to respect a man in a skirt.
No one's ever said that.
No. No one
Not
has
even
ever
in
said
Scotland.
That. Right. Oh my God. Okay. So something that I would tell my therapist, I think, is the fact that my favorite color is gray. And I think that is indicative of my depression. But also, I think I have good taste. So I can't really figure out, do I just like muted, subtle things that are easy to dress up? Or am I really sad? I've never been able to figure out why my favorite color is gray.
Funny. I don't... Wow, that's really deep. Like, is your favorite color gray because you have good taste or because you're utterly depressed? That's a lot to unpack there.
Isn't it?
And I don't think either of the answers are wrong.
Me neither. I've always been averse to things that are really bright and like pow.
Yeah.
Yellow, pinks.
Yeah.
It's just, it's too abrupt. It's too, But that's how I think I function in day-to-day life too, is gray on like a gray level,
right,
which makes me feel sad though.
Does it make you feel sad? When you see gray, does there an emotional trigger that's like, this is sad and comforting?
I think so.
Right.
It's very mute. It doesn't...
So, but in the spring, Easter, everyone's wearing little velvets and pinks
and
violets, right, and pastels. Does that give you at all like, oh, that's exciting, the spring, or does it literally bum you out?
It kind of bums me out.
That's interesting.
It reminds me of women that would love those colors that I have nothing in common with,
right,
that we just don't connect.
Right.
Like last night I went to see Waitress on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
Fucking hated every second of it.
Why? Did you just see the movie?
No, I never saw the movie.
The movie's great.
you know, I just have a thing against Broadway having anything to do with monotony. Like, she's it's boring. They're in the South, and it's a waitress, and it seemed too real. I want Broadway to take me somewhere magical, like Jazz Hands.
You should have gone to see the King Kong musical.
There's a King Kong musical?
There's a King Kong musical. It's about to close. It was a giant, big budget flop, and it's about to close.
Oh, well, then I'm glad I didn't see it if it was a flop.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's considered a flop or not, but it didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't, like, no one talked about
it.
Yeah,
like, I had no idea
that
was even...
It was like a $100 million thing, and I think it's kind of brilliant. I kind of want to see it before it closes to say, like, yeah, I saw King Kong on Broadway.
Yeah, right. You saw it flop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well...
Well, there's a lot of Broadway shows about monotony now, which is funny you say that. Have you seen the band's Visit?
No, but it was across the street.
It's all about that.
Yeah, and I saw the name, and then my friend told me what it was about, and the name didn't match the...
It's about a real thing that happened when, in the 80s, this Egyptian, like, orchestra band, like a marching band, was going to go to Israel to do the first time an Egyptian band was going to play in Israel. And they went to the wrong town. There's two towns that sound exactly alike. They're like one letter off. And one of the cities is like a big cultural mecca where they have like a Lincoln Center.
It's like New York and Newark.
Yes. And the other is like a desert wasteland where there's like two buildings. And
wow.
They go to the wrong town. And the whole play is about how the town changes because the band comes and spends the night in this town and everyone takes in a different member of the band, everyone's house.
Yeah, it sounds pretty monotonous.
And how, but it's about how this terrible small town life is all changed by this band's visit.
Did you like it?
Yeah, because the music's beautiful and it's an interesting story.
Did they dance? There was no dancing in Waitress. I'm a huge fan of dancing.
Oh, there's no dancing in
Waitress? No. And like the three little dance moves they had were terrible. And you could tell they were all very much singers.
Yes.
And I grew up dancing. I'm a big dance fan.
Right.
So no dancing on Broadway. What?
That's weird.
There should be a disclaimer. You're seeing Waitress.
There's no dancing.
No dancing.
It should be one of those little things in the
Insert, right.
Yeah, the insert. No dancing in this show.
Right. I was very disappointed. But my friend that I went with, she loves it. It's her favorite. And so then I had to play up the whole night.
Oh, I loved
Waitress. It was great. Some of the songs were actually pretty decent.
I mean, it's been playing for like 5 years.
Yeah, it's right. The songs were good, but I mean, I like Chicago, the musical, because it's like...
That's still playing.
I know, but I've seen it like a million times, so I can't go see it again. I mean, I can, but... You know, it's got like grit and it's kind of dark.
Chicago's a perfect musical. You can't compare anything to it.
Right, and so I want everything to be Chicago.
Right.
And then it's not...
Very few musicals are. I could name the five other musicals that are as good as
Please name
Chicago.
Them.
West Side Story.
Okay.
Gypsy. Pippin. And maybe one other.
Okay, well, I've never seen Gypsy or Pippin. So
what?
I
have,
no.
They're
so
perfect musicals.
Okay, good. Okay, so I have some to see eventually.
To see, yeah.
When they're back. All right, good. Well, so the reason I brought that up was because at Waitress last night, it seemed like there were a lot of women there that were on vacation and they love pastels.
Right.
And they just wanted to laugh at anything.
Yes.
They were so desperate to laugh. Like the girl would make a goofy look on her face and they'd go just like... hunched over laughing.
There's another... Well, that brings up a different
theory.
That's
why I like Gray.
Broadway. People go to Broadway... People are paying $180 a ticket. So it doesn't matter what happens on stage. They're going to get their $180 worth.
Right.
People go to the Lion King on Broadway to stand at the end.
Right.
They don't care what happens.
Right.
They paid $180. They're
going to
enjoy
themselves.
At the end of that fucking show.
They better.
They better. So,
right.
So they... ring out of it more joy than maybe.
But
is
wouldn't
there.
You think if you spent that much money, you'd be more easily disappointed? You'd have higher expectations.
That's your POV.
That's my gray. That's why gray is my favorite
that's
color.
The gray. The
I'm
gray
just
of
a cynic
you
in every way.
Is like, oh, why did I pay all this money for this? I should just watch this on TV.
Well, right.
Rather than people who are like, I paid all this money,
I'm
going to
enjoy
the best
this
because I want everyone else to think, oh, my friends at home, that I had the best time.
Right.
I don't want to tell my friends I spent $200 on the show and it sucked.
Right. See. I'm going to spend money. I'm going to have my expectations high.
Yeah.
And I'll still post it on social media, though.
But that you went.
Yeah.
Did you post a little...
No, I actually didn't post it. I
program
it.
Of
No,
of
I did take a picture, but I didn't post it.
Yeah.
Because I honestly, I was almost embarrassed.
Are there certain pictures that you're sick of people posting? Like
no,
certain things that you're like, okay, I can't believe another...
Any picture that's not me. I'm just so
you
over.
You must hate every picture.
I know. There's not enough of me.
But yet, you claim you hate yourself, but yet you want more of you.
Well,
that's
actually the best quote I'd ever seen. I think it was on Twitter, and I remember I posted it long, long, long time ago or retweeted it or something. But it was... And I'm so mad that I didn't come up with it. But the person said something like, I hate myself, but I'm also the best or something.
Right.
And I was like, that's me.
Right. I hate myself, but no one else can do it.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah.
So it's kind of a fucked up, you know, like dual thing where I think I'm the worst and the best at the same time, but definitely the worst.
Yeah.
I think I lean toward the worst.
Uh-huh.
But then I'm like, I'm not so bad. You know, like from when I have an outside perspective, okay. But then I'm like, but on an everyday basis, I hate myself.
Right.
So.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
There was something else I was going to get to. But it's sort of similar to the themes you were talking about. There's certain pictures, like as much as it's so compelling when you're there to post the picture of the Broadway show playbill or when you're
on the private plane.
I feel like so many comics, because it's new for them and it's exciting when you're on a private plane. But when you're the viewer, you see enough of those that you're like, it's not interesting to
me. If I'm on Instagram and I'm going through the stories and I see a concert, swipe left immediately. Just get out of my life.
Unless I've noticed it's a concert I'm sort of curious about, I'd be like, oh, wait.
It could be like John Lennon's Back from the Dead.
I want to see that, yeah. And
but if they post it on Instagram, I still would not.
It just sounds like shit.
Yeah, it's just a look. Like, I can't see.
Yeah, you can't see it. You can't hear it well.
Right.
I mostly hate it. And I'd say 90% of the time, I'm like, why would you post 7 stories of this concert, a band I've never even heard of?
Right.
But if it's someone I'm curious about, I'll listen to see if it's the decent quality sound.
You actually give it a chance.
I'll give it a chance. But if it's decent quality sound, I'll listen to it because it's just something I like. But it's very rare.
Okay, well, it's good. It's rare because I respect you now.
Yeah,
I was going to say, if you like intently watch everyone's concert.
No, never. I hate it. I hate them. But it was just sometimes I'd be like, oh, I wish I'd gone to that show. Let's see if their footage is good.
Okay, see, I don't ever wish that I went to any concerts. So it's not like I'm yearning for the experience.
Right.
But I did go see Fleetwood Mac a couple weeks ago, which I talked about in the podcast last week. But I took a lot of footage of the show because it was like, in the moment, it's fun. You're excited. It's Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah,
it's a big deal. Good view.
Where'd you see it?
In Albany.
On Albany.
And I didn't post a single moment of it on Instagram of the actual footage. What I did post, though, I always want to do something unexpected or somewhat funny.
Yes.
So I said, I just on a blank screen on Instagram stories, I said, here's some exciting footage of the Fleetwood Mac concert I went to last night. And then the next screen was just like, the stadium empty with one man standing there. You know, so like, I'm like, I can't be that cliche and just post the image of the or the video of the concert. I have to do something
that's
a little
funny
twisted.
To say that. And I always have that instinct too as a comic. I'm like, what's a funny take? But then again,
like,
that's
what's
basically,
the opposite?
It's also basically the humble brag theory though, because you want
absolutely.
People to know,
I'm
but you want to be humble about it.
Absolutely.
Which is the whole, that whole theory.
And you can see right through it.
You can see right through it, yes.
Because I wanted people to know I was at Fleetwood Mac.
Of course.
But I didn't want to post the cliche concert footage. So I'm like, how can I still brag?
Right. Well, you know what I've tried to start to do, and I haven't done it, I haven't committed to it enough yet, is posting funny, mundane moments of my life, like laundry, going to the bank.
Yep.
Like trying to find a funny way to get into, like, these are just the mundane things. This is not the interesting highlights. And keep it as human as I can. Someone, I don't want to drop names, Fred Armisen told me, because he likes my Instagram, because he was like, it's so human. It's just so real. You don't try to brag, you know. And I was like, and I never thought of it before until he said something. I was like, oh, I guess that is kind of what I'm going for.
It's refreshing because you don't usually see that. And so it almost hits people's brains like, whoa, this is real.
Yeah.
Do you hear a super high-pitched sound in your headphones?
It's the bagpipes still. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
See, now I'm going crazy.
I thought you were like, yeah, it's the bagpipes we talked about a minute ago.
I forgot about them. So I am losing my mind, and I should go to therapy again. I thought it was my equipment. Hey, it's Kristen just cutting in here real quick. Turns out it is my equipment. You know what I realized is when I'm in the city, when I'm in New York, the cords almost have like this AM frequency thing where it picks up frequencies or something. I'm clearly very educated on this topic. But so there is a high-pitched ringing. And you are not insane. I am not insane. But it will drive you insane. Anyway, continue enjoying the show.
You know what I also find interesting that enough people don't do, which so one guy I've one there's a guy I follow on Instagram stories. He's kind of the most fabulous bum. And what I mean bum is that he's young and he's kind of connected into a lot of like models, rock and roll scene here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always going out every night. He's kind of homeless. He has a house, like he like lives in his parents' basement in Jersey. but he comes to the city and he'll like couch surf
for
days.
Off that definition, I am also kind of homeless.
Jersey. Right. But he has a really kind of interesting, fabulous life, even though he's like this homeless dude who does nothing. But he's like a big personality. He's really funny.
Yeah.
So I follow him and he literally just does stories about nothing his night all night. He'll just like be holding the phone as he's like joking around with people or walking around the city.
Do you find it engaging and interesting?
I find it fascinating because I'm also fascinated by him because he's an interesting
character. How's he pulling off
his
life?
And... what is your night?
And who are you?
He'll just advertise his night all night.
Interesting.
And it's a bunch of weird characters and models doing stupid shit.
I think you have to be fascinated by the person to find that
fascinating. You have to know him enough to be like, I'm curious, because like, where are you spending the night tonight? Because I know you don't have an apartment.
Right. So you have a fast, like you're curious. You need to know.
Yeah.
Well, I posted a long time ago something super boring and I said, it was a poll and I said, should I post more really boring stories? And I think 90% yes.
Yeah,
and so then
like the,
next, the
mundane a little bit. There's something attractive about it.
Yeah, so then the next day I just posted a story of flipping through just the remote control flipping through the channels. And it got a lot of views. And I've noticed actually if you post like a screenshot of just some conversation, you know, you're having and it's not that interesting, you don't get as many views on your story. But if you do a video or something that's...
active?
Somewhere? Yeah, it engages more people, but I don't know how they know to...
Yeah, how do they know?
I don't know. Like, how do they know that this is better than the other one?
Yeah.
The algorithm or whatever. Anyway. All right. So let's segue to socially challenged.
Yes.
Which is where we talk about friendships and like what you're like socially and how do you make friends and how did you become the person you are socially today?
That's a lot of time.
No, it'll be short. And then we're going to go to...
okay.
Yeah. Because we have... Yeah.
We got about a half hour, I feel like. How much time?
No,
do
we have like
do?
10 more minutes left.
We do?
Well, we're 33 minutes in.
All right. We can keep going. It depends on how much footage you have. I got to be downtown around 4:30-ish.
Okay. All right. Well, then 50 more minutes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So what are you like socially? Do you have a lot of friends?
I do.
How do you make your friends? Not payoffs. I'm talking like how you actually...
No, I mean, it's interesting because you are actually talking to a guy who has a shocking number of friends.
And I would imagine you would.
Yeah.
And normally that would be an insult for me saying like...
Yes.
Because if I say to someone, you seem like you'd have a lot of friends, that means I think they're an asshole and annoying. you have like a light sparkle. Like when I say light, I mean like a twinkle in your eye. Like you have a twinkle about you.
Yeah.
And so you seem like someone who would have people gravitate toward them.
Feel like I do, and it's something that's both happened naturally and calculated. Like I feel like, you know, there's a moment in everyone's life, maybe it's in elementary school or really in like middle school, where you figure out how I'm going to make friends, and you just sort of figure out your plan or whoever that is, and you know,
murder.
If you kill everyone else, then
they have to be your friend.
You know, I still have a lot of my friends are from like middle school, high school, elementary school. Like a lot, like I have a bunch of core friends from that era.
Are they in the city or do you have to go back
to
Jersey?
A lot of them.
Museum?
No. There's two of them live upstate in New Paltz together. One's in LA, one's in Manhattan, one's in Boston.
Okay, so you're not all centrally
located.
Jersey.
Not really, but we do a weekend every year.
That's
together.
Okay. I finally, it's like I caught one. I caught a butterfly here and I can ask you, because so far, everyone I've had on the show, they don't have groups of friends really.
Oh, I have tons of different groups of friends. Because I have in New York, I was an actor in New York a long time. I was like a theater person.
Oh.
So I have like a lot. So
that's
for 10 years in
I
New
see.
York, I was a theater
You're
guy.
A theater
I mean,
guy.
I was a theater guy since I was little. I was like a professional theater kid.
You were a theater man as a boy.
Yes. Yes. I was a professional theater kid my whole life. So I have all, so I went to theater camp. I went to Stays Row Manor up in Sheldrake. New York, not too far from me.
I'm acting like I know what it is, but
it's not too far from me. It's near like, you know, it's in the Catskills.
Yeah.
It's a big popular theater camp. So anyway, I still have a lot of friends from that era. And those people are like professional actors and playwrights now. So when I came to New York, I was already injected into this group of like young actors. So I had as a 22, 23 year old when I came to New York, not only did I have a lot of hometown friends, but I had all these like actor friends now. And then through those people, I made more people. Then I got into stand-up. Then I have all those stand-up friends, which is a whole other group. And then, so there's like five or six different groups of New York of friends that I have that all have overlap somewhat, but So it's, yeah, it's a big group. It's a big, large pool of people.
But what I'm interested in is the group hangout that you just brought up.
Right.
You said we all get together and do like a weekend.
In fact, we've been, I just got emails about it as just now as we're talking because one guy just threw a big wrench in the whole thing.
Oh, well, okay, tell me about that in a second. Who is the person leading the charge in doing all this? Because there's someone always, there's a driving force.
One guy, one of our friends who grew up pretty rich, also sold an internet tech company in 98 for lots of money.
Oh, so he has a lot of money. Is he single?
No, he's got kids.
God damn it.
He's one of the guys who lives in Boston. Anyway, so he has a lot of spare cash and he misses all this. He's got all girls and a wife. So he's like, I miss being around dudes. So he usually is like, where are we going this year? He pays for a lot of it. He pays for the house and da, 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 da.
Okay, so I think that's what it is. It's someone who needs an outlet.
Yeah.
That is willing to put in all this effort to plan a weekend away with a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of effort.
But it's funny because this email started, this new thing started because we've been doing it for only a few years. We sort of like realized we haven't gotten together in a long time and we should do it. So now we've started the last 2 or 3 years every one weekend a year. And then so the guy with a lot of the money was like, let's plan something for 2020 because there's some big events going on. There's like the Olympics and like World Cup or something. He's like, let's figure out something really big. And then I was like, well, what about 2019?
So it gotta be so nice to have money.
Yeah.
Let's just like plan to go to the Olympics. Let's plan a trip.
He was
going to
try and plan something around some sort of event going on that year. So I was like, what about, we can talk about that, but let's talk about this year. Let's do like a beach trip or something this year, something small. So now we've spent the last week, everyone going back about what dates, because now it's just organizing 15 dudes and their dates. It's
okay,
insane.
When you say beach trip small, is it local beach trip to Jersey?
Like Jersey?
Okay,
Jersey.
All right. Because I was going to say, if you think going to Cancun is small,
No. I'm saying like Jersey Shore for the weekend.
Okay.
Get rent a house kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
pure trash. So great.
Pure trash, exactly. So everyone has decided after many, many emails this week, July. Now, one guy who we all love who kind of has to be there, who's everyone's favorite, is like, I can't do July.
He's the wrench.
So now everyone's emailing, are you kidding? Are you kidding?
How could you not do July?
He's got too much other shit going on.
Ugh, please.
So now he's like, well, I could do September.
September, beach weekend. No one wants him to go anymore. He's out.
That's what's happening now.
Yeah.
But it's weird. He's one of, it's an interesting dynamic of this group. And there's certain people who could not go and it would still be fun. But he's one of those people that kind of has to be there because everyone loves
he makes
him
it.
So much. Yeah, he kind of makes it fun.
Yeah. So you'd go to the beach in a non-beach time just for him.
Yeah. It wouldn't happen without this one guy.
That speaks volumes about him.
Yes.
He sounds wonderful.
He's a good dude.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So what is something, we'll jump off the friend stuff because that was like, I get it. Like you're so, well, no, you know, I don't want to jump off of it because I think a lot of people listening to the show are introverts and don't have a lot of friends. So what would you say for advice for people like me or who tend to isolate? How do we make more friends?
You know, what's funny. I it's hard for me to give advice for people who are a little more introverted, but
you're like, I can't talk to losers. I don't know your language.
There's two things about becoming friends with people. Being really, here's a few things. Being socially intelligent is important. And that's something I learned
as a kid. I'm almost too socially intelligent to be friends with people. I'm too aware.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I know what you mean.
Okay.
Are you aware of how awful everyone is?
Yeah, and like I don't want to be a pain in their ass. I don't want to ask too many favors.
You're overthinking everything.
I overthink everything.
And there's a part of me is like that too. I overthink stuff. I don't want to like be a dick. I don't want to be that person who's like annoying them. But being socially intelligent is important, and that encompasses a lot of stuff. Being sensitive to what people's needs are in the moment. And also being genuine is so important. People smell it, as we talked about before. People smell when you're genuine, when you're not. And women are even better at it than men.
They should have deodorant named Genuine.
Yeah, they should, something. Right?
I don't know if that made any sense at all.
Totally. No, I get it.
Okay.
And being genuinely funny helps.
Like me.
Yeah. And talking about that person in a nice way that feels real. Like
to their face?
Here's the thing. I have a As a comic, you have a lot of friends in comedy that are just like casual friends. Like, you know them comedy and you think of your friends, but you don't really hang out. You don't really see each other. We see each other around. There was one comic and I got into like a weird, I don't say a fight, but like some incident happened and then it got really awkward. And I hadn't seen them in months. And this is someone I really liked. I didn't want to go through a whole like apology thing because it wasn't that weird of an incident.
Right, because then it was going to bring it up a level.
So I ran into him this week. And I was like, how am I going to handle this? Let's see how they are. Let's see if they're weird, if it needs to just be discussed, like an apology needs to be discussed or the incident needs to be discussed. But they didn't. They were totally cool. I saw them at a show. And I just, in a genuine way, talked about how I think they are doing great. I was like, people don't know it, but I think you're doing great. And you're really better than everyone thinks. And you don't doubt yourself. You're yourself. And they really appreciated some honest feedback.
And you were being genuine. You weren't just ass-kissing.
No, because I really liked them.
See, I would overthink that and think, well, they're going to think I'm ass-kissing. No. And then I'd stutter through the compliments. you did great.
No, but I asked about their life and they, like, what's going on with you right now? And they gave me a whole monologue and you genuinely listened, didn't ask follow-up questions like, that's so cool, you're doing this and doing that, da, da, da. And they got into this place where they're in some self-doubt mode and I'm like, here's why you shouldn't be there. And I think I could see them really be like, you know what? This guy's a good friend.
Aw.
And I felt like we got past that incident.
Now, were you doing it with a motive to just get past it, or did you actually care?
I genuinely cared, but I definitely wanted us to get past that stupid thing that happened. That had nothing to do with the two of us. It was like something that happened with someone else that got pushed upon us. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, yeah. So when you went into this moment, did you feel totally at ease, or did you feel really nervous? I would feel really nervous that there'd be confrontation.
I was a little nervous because I was like, are they going to be mad at me or are they not going to be mad at me? Because I haven't talked to them in months.
Yeah.
So I had no idea.
That's tricky to approach that situation.
Yeah.
So what was your energy like going into it? Did you
start slow? Well, we're backstage at a show and there's a ton of comics around there. I was talking to someone here, they're talking to someone there, and I was like, and they just got off stage. So I was just like, how'd it go out there? In a very casual way.
Oh, okay. You had an entrance.
How'd it go? Was it fun for you? Was it weird? Because it was like a big event. And they were like, yeah, it was fun. I was like, great. How you doing? You doing good? You know? They're like, yeah. They go into their whole life.
Yeah. You need that moment. Like that, and it's almost like a little window of opportunity to naturally get into conversation.
Yeah.
Because if you just have to walk up to someone, say they're at a bar and you're just like, hey.
That's, are you talking about just striking up conversation with people you don't know?
No,
or
I mean
people
to,
you know or don't know or want to know?
I mean with someone that you might have a weird energy with that you're trying to get over.
Yes. I mean, it's funny because I knew some people who are very confrontational and I have some friends that probably would have like seen this person. They were like, can I talk to you for a second? I want to clear the air and make a whole thing about it. I'm not that person.
No, that's like Real Housewives drama.
Yeah. And, but they
can we talk for a second?
But they wouldn't have done it in drama ways. They want to be like, make sure that they're cool. But I think it would end up making it worse.
Yeah.
So I just ignored the whole thing and just said, let's just like move on.
So because you have a lot of friends, do you feel like most of your life is consumed with texting and just talking to people constantly?
Some days it is.
Is that exhausting or is that invigorating?
Some days it's exhausting. Some days I don't hear from anyone. You know, also let's talk about the fact that I just had two little girls recently.
Congratulations.
So that's changed my life totally. Yeah. So I'm not going out as much. I'm not performing as much. I'm not as social as I was. I still try to be somewhat social. Like I'm going to someone's birthday tonight, but that's rare. Like in 5 months, I think I've gone out at night, like, I don't know, much less than I used to. So
it's probably more than me and I don't have kids.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm not as connected with people as I used to be.
And does that make you feel sad? How does your brain feel?
Some ways it makes me feel sad. Some ways it makes me feel fine. Also, you have to understand, I've been in New York a long time. And almost all of my friends that I used to like be in constant contact with all have kids and are all home.
Yeah.
And da, da, da. So
right. So it's part of the process. You're expecting
process.
It.
Yes.
It's not out of the blue where all of a sudden you're like,
so
I'm alone.
People who are contacting me a lot are people I know who are friends of mine who don't have kids.
Yeah.
Who are out doing stuff.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to be me until I'm 90 and then I'm dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Real quick. I want
real
to talk
quick.
Social etiquette.
Yeah.
What's something that someone does or people do in society that bothers you?
Okay. There's a lot.
I know. And I, of course, started with 5 seconds left to talk.
5 seconds. Here's something that I think that I find really funny. There's so many things I find funny. When you're talking, Okay, this is so it happens all the time in so many different scenarios. Let's say we're talking in a hallway because I work over here and there's a lot of hallway scenarios, or even on the street a lot.
Hallway scenarios, I forget.
It's a whole other hallway scenario thing.
It's like a whole world.
And someone's just walking by. Someone's in the middle of a story, but they get distracted by the person walking by, and they have to kind of pause. And they pause for like 2 or 3 seconds while the person walks by because for some reason, they either don't want to continue, they don't want them to hear. And I find myself being the person walking by, like on the subway or on the street. Like I'll be on the street walking at maybe a slow pace and I see two people walking towards me and they're talking. And I can hear them and I'll hear one of them kind of like pause and like search for thought while they're passing me. And then as soon as they get by me, they'll start up again.
Either that's a compliment to you or it's an insult to you.
I don't know what it is. I think people don't want to be overheard maybe, or they don't want to be judged.
When I used to wait tables.
I don't know what it is, but it's I know exactly what you're talking time.
About. Yeah. When I used to wait tables, I already felt insecure. Yeah. I felt inferior.
Tables are the worst. People stop conversations when you show up.
Right. So I just want to sneak in and, you know, drop off a ketchup.
Right.
And all of a sudden they just stop the whole conversation because we don't want the plebe to overhear what we're saying. And I have to like sulk away. I don't understand human words. I always hated that. And I just wanted to say, keep talking. Like, I don't give a fuck what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
Well, my friend Jen, resident consultant Jen, I call her on the show. She was on last week. And after we taped, she noticed something that I do, which annoys her. And I do this thing where I talk really quiet. And so I'll do it when I'm giving a detail, but no one's around. The windows are closed, and I'm going to say so-and-so's cheap, but I'll say, and they're really cheap.
Right.
She's like, you don't have to whisper that. I'm right here.
Yeah.
And actually, speaking of your friend, Fred Armisen, she pulled up an SNL bit where
he does that.
Yeah. She's like, this is exactly what you do.
Yeah.
And I do it exactly how they did it.
Right.
And it drives her insane.
That's so funny.
And I don't know why I do that. I think it's a embarrassing thing on my end. Like, I'm going to say something shitty about someone, but I'm not confident to own it. So I have to whisper it like a coward. That's what it is.
That's so funny. Cause it was also in the first time I ever heard that was in, that movie with Shirley MacLaine about cancer, Jack Nicholson, Terms of Endearment. There's a whole Terms of Endearment thing where she keeps going, he has cancer. And they keep whispering cancer throughout the whole film.
That's something that I would do.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. It's not something that I'm proud of. And I want to try to. But then, what do I shout out? He's got cancer?
Yeah, shout it out from the rooftops?
Then it's weird. But then I realize, okay, well, there's the happy medium, which is just don't say it at all. Or if you have to say it, just say it at an appropriate time where you have to tell someone he has cancer. You don't have to be like disclaiming it all the time. Right. Disclaimer. He's got cancer. He's still a human, though. But he's got cancer. Cancer should only be whispered. That word should never be said at full volume. Cancer. Like when you get it, they just whisper it in your ear. That sounds awful. That sounds really terrible.
There might have been an SNL character who only whispers, but then they say the whisper part loud.
Oh, that's funny. You do the opposite.
Yeah.
All right. Well, something that bothers me, and then we'll head out. Head out.
All right.
Criminals used to dress a lot nicer back in like the 30s.
Oh, when they all wore suits to rob banks.
And I
is that something that really happened? That's something we're led to believe.
Probably led to believe. And I live in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
But I was looking at some news report and, you know, this guy like robbed a convenience store and he looked like shit. At least have some dignity.
Right.
Put some effort in.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll be less recognizable because you dress like shit every day. They'll be like, no, that guy was dressed way too nice.
Yeah,
it wasn't
Dillinger
him.
Always wore a suit.
Exactly. So anyway, well, I want people to step up their
crime.
One
of the things people have talked about is on plane travel. No one dresses up anymore. Everyone wears juicy sweats. And
yep. Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah. Sebastian talks about that, I think, in a stand-up. Sebastian
Maniscalco.
Yeah. Okay. But I wish I lived in a time where people didn't put on pajama pants to go in public.
I remember. When I was a little kid, I do it.
I turn into that scuff sometimes.
People want to be comfortable on the plane. Right. I get it. You're going to sleep. You want to be comfortable
on the plane, though. I'll never go like sweatpants. I'd go yoga pants, maybe.
Oh yeah.
But I'll never go as low as like carrying around a pillow and.
Have
you seen that?
Oh yeah, people wear like neck pillows.
No, but like an actual pillow.
I've seen it.
Yeah,
I've definitely seen it. I've never done it. I've never carried a pillow on because I feel like they supply pillows for you on the plane.
They do.
You get a pillow.
Right.
You don't need another pillow.
Right. And that's your dirty head pillow that you sleep on in your bed, and now it's just
even
out
dirtier
because
it's on the plane, so it makes it worse.
Yeah, well, there's something about someone bringing something from their bedroom that they sleep on every night into a public space. It's kind of gross.
You know what's so funny? And this is, maybe we'll get onto this.
Yeah.
I got on a plane recently and I posted this on Insta. There was a woman who was like, so people say, oh, why does anyone need extra help? You can go on early. She's like, yes, I do. She goes on early and I see she got on early because she put on gloves, got disinfectant, and she wiped down every seat, her seat and every seat around her. She wiped it down, disinfected it like she was like the maid, mm-hmm. like gloves, the whole bit. Mm-hmm. And I got on early enough to catch her do it. So I took a couple pictures of her and I posted it. I was like, this woman, like, she caused a big fuss too. She yelled and screamed till she got on early.
Of course.
It wasn't, yeah. She wasn't quiet about it. So she drew attention to herself. Right. So I said, this woman caused a big fuss. She got on early to scrub down her seat. And I was thinking, like, almost shaming her, like, isn't that funny that she did this? Everyone on the feed is like, she's my spirit animal. I love her. I should have done that. I should be doing that. Everyone got on board with her.
It's so funny because I actually saw a post a couple weeks ago of a woman saying that she scrubs down her seat and her daughter mm-hmm. as well. Like, she mm-hmm. was scrubbing down her and her daughter's seat. And I was not on board just because I think it's inconveniencing for other people. And uh-huh. I'm all about not inconveniencing other people.
Right. Yeah.
And so I wouldn't have been on her side, but I get why people are on her side.
I was shocked how many people were.
Now, it bothers me that they're on her side.
I don't do it, but I would do it, is what everyone's thing. It's like, she's, don't shame her. Yeah, she's doing the right thing.
She's
got the balls to do the thing that we all would like to do.
Right. I don't care that much. If I'm going to get sick, I'm going to get sick. Whatevs. It's too much effort. I don't want to think that far in advance. Yeah, I got to come with sanitizer, fight with the people at the gate to get me on.
And then I bring my own sanitizer with me and wipe everything down. It's a whole issue.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Kristen, anytime. Next week. Let's totally
okay.
do it.
All right. How about in 10 minutes?
Let's 10 minutes. Minutes? We'll okay. do another one.
All right. Well, thank you for everyone listening. And remember, you guys can support the show if you want to on Patreon at patreon.com/Kristen.
Is that
and
the
Jill.
Only way to hear it?
No. It's just I do like little movie nights and thing, like extra things on there. But the show's on iTunes and all the other things for free.
Okay.
There's just some perks on Patreon. And also, if you guys want to rate the podcast, that helps me out immensely. So Seth, go home and rate my podcast.
I will rate this podcast
5 stars only, though.
Did you ever tell anyone who I was? I don't think you ever.
No, I didn't. And I usually start before I do the introduction.
Oh, you do a different intro
alone, because it's humiliating to sit here in front of you and be like,
I don't mind.
Hey
that.
Guys, welcome to the show.
Oh, I don't mind it. It's weird. I feel weird. I guess so. Okay.
Yeah, it's almost like seeing me like naked. I don't know. It's embarrassing.
That would not be weird.
No, that would not be weird and not embarrassing. It'd be quite breathtaking. Okay. So please rate the show, share the show with a friend, and remember, stay bored enough. Oh, wait, no. Where can people find you? I'm so bad about that shit.
My Insta, which I've talked about a lot today, is Seth Zog, SethZog. And The Zog on Twitter. That's the best stuff.
Yeah, there's a
site I just put up. I'm gonna do a new one called the SethHerzog.biz, and it's like a little like EPK of like fun videos and a bio. Ooh. And stuff.
Wow.
And also boy band. I'm starting this feature that's now out. It just came out. You can see.
Oh,
this
awesome.
Very funny, silly movie called Boy Band, about a boy band's too old to be doing it.
Oh my god, that's
you
amazing.
Can catch it on Amazon and iTunes and Google and Vudu and Xbox.
You're probably really good in it.
I'm funny in it.
We're in the boy band, I'm assuming.
Steve,
yeah, that's amazing.
Steve Agee, Dave Hill, Jordan, Carlos, and I are the band.
Great cast.
And then we have some fun cameos. Jerry O'Connell has a little part in it. Questlove has a little part in it. Gilbert Godfrey has a little part in it.
Oh my god, how fun.
And it's a very funny little film.
And it's called Boy Band.
Boy Band, yeah.
All right, check out Boy Band.
Yeah.
And do that right after you listen to this podcast and give it 5 stars. Thank you again.
Of course.
For joining me.
Any day.
All right, stay bored enough to listen, but not too bored. Bye, guys.
Let's move on to the next question. You ever feel sad? Also, have you ever killed anyone? Is that supposed to be funny? Some kind of racist shit because I'm Italian? Fuck off. Yeah, I feel sad. I feel sad that I read that goddamn question. All right, let's move on. What's the recipe for happiness? And also sauce. Oh, Jesus Christ. Another fucking racist thing here. First of all, you don't call it sauce if you're Italian, right? It's gravy. I know it sounds weird for you fucking crackers in the South. Gravy is some kind of bullshit that you put on potatoes or whatever. But for an Italian, for non-schwagutz, you know, you use gravy as fucking sauce. So don't call it sauce, all right? fucking drive me crazy. What's the recipe for happiness? Recipe for happiness is happiness doesn't happen and then just stay. You have good days, you have bad days. Remember that song? Mama said you'd have days like this, right? Guess what? It's based on reality. You're going to have some shitty days. Next day, maybe it won't be so shitty. The recipe for happiness is do stuff that makes you feel happy. And then remember those moments that make you feel happy and you'll feel happy again. But you're kidding yourself if you think that you do something that makes you feel happy and you're going to be fucking happy for a week or a month or a year. Forget it. It doesn't work that way. Happiness is not a state of mind. It's just a feeling. You'll have it. It'll pass. Same way being sad passes. Again, fucking elementary school shit. What is wrong with you people? Do any of you have a job?